Well, good morning, everyone. Really wonderful to see you all here. It would be helpful if you could have that particular portion of Scripture open in front of you. So we're looking this morning at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 to 22 as we continue with the third in our series, God's New Community. And as we come to God's word, why don't we quieten our hearts again as our leaders in a prayer. Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks for each one of us gathered here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest. We thank you, Father, that you've gathered us here as individuals, but we are also part of your local church, your fellowship in this place. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that your desire for us is that we are built together in Christ as your people. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak to us through your word now. We ask that you would come to us through your Holy Spirit, so that what we read and what we hear isn't just information in our lives, but is rather a transformation from you. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So there's a feature on the BBC website this last week about something called LARP. And for the uninitiated among you, LARP, or L-A-R-P, stands for Live Action Roleplay. And what LARP basically is where people dress up as knights, or goblins, or dragons, or lords and ladies, and basically act out stories in an alternative reality. You can be a humble office worker one minute, and then lord of an imaginary kingdom the next. And one of the people who was involved in this, you can see some of the practitioners of this particular LARP on the screen there. One of the people who was involved in this was interviewed, and she said that the reason that she takes part in LARP is because the sense of community and belonging which it gives her. She said she was surrounded by an impersonal world all week, and at the weekend she just wanted to escape and have some face-to-face contact with normal people. Which I thought was at least marginally amusing. And what she was basically thinking about there and speaking about and expressing is the desire that all of us have for a genuine community. A genuine belonging, genuine community. And community, of course, is something that we were created for. God made us to know him and to know one another, but yet all too often we often find that community is in short supply. So somewhere we ought to find community, of course, is our work. And I guess to a certain extent, many of us would say that that is the case for us. But often, even with work, we feel that we are maybe not really appreciated as much as we ought to actually be, or that we basically feel sometimes almost expendable to our employers. And so there too, a genuine community often seems to be in short supply. In Hong Kong as well, people are always moving on. We maybe feel that our relationships are often governed by transience. As one person here once said to me, everyone had just lost a friend in the last 6 months. Everybody had just lost a friend in the last 6 months. And thinking many of our experiences here, that is probably true. Within the last 6 months, someone who we have known, someone who we have maybe been close to here, has moved on and is no longer in Hong Kong. And it's in this context, therefore, that we come to think about community this morning, and in particular this whole question of what makes a strong church community. What makes a strong church community? How can we have a strong community here at Ambassador International Church? So we've been looking for the last few weeks at Ephesians chapter 2. So you'll remember that from verses 1 to 10, we've seen that God has rescued us as individuals by his grace. Then you'll see from chapter 2 and verses 11 to 18, which we looked at if you're here last week, we saw that God has reconciled us to himself, but he's also reconciled us to one another as well, in one new community or one new humanity, as we saw. And then we come to the verses which we're going to be spending our time on, just three very short verses at the end, verse 19 to 22, where we go on to see some features of what this new community in the church should actually look like. And I think what we will see is these three essential elements of a strong Christian community. And I put them there on your sheet that you ought to have been able to find inside your service sheets. And the first one I've called Individuals Who Belong to God's Family. So the first essential element of a strong church community is individuals who belong to God's family. So in the chapter so far, we've seen that God has brought us near to himself. We've seen that God has reconciled us to himself. And then in verse 19, I think here Paul moves on to spell out some of the implications of that for us. So he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. And of course the words there, God's household, could also equally be as well translated God's family. So Paul's saying that without the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were aliens and strangers to God's people. A foreigner, especially in the ancient world where Paul was writing, had no legal rights or privileges at all. But now, Paul says, through Christ, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You are fellow citizens. Once you didn't belong. Once you were outsiders and refugees and asylum seekers, so far as God was concerned. But now you have your permanent residency. That's basically what he's saying. Now, in Christ, you have your permanent residency as a member of God's people. You are included as a fellow citizen of God's kingdom. I'm sure you've seen on the news, and you will know that there are many, many refugees in our world. And what many of those refugees want, more than anything else, is to be included in a country and given full rights as fellow citizens of that country. For some refugees and asylum seekers, their new passport is probably their most treasured possession of all. And here Paul is saying that that is what has happened to us if we are Christians as well. You are no longer foreigners, you are no longer strangers, aliens or refugees, but now you belong as full citizens in God's kingdom. That's what's happened to you through Christ. Now, to actually be fellow citizens would be wonderful enough. But then Paul goes on to say that we are not only fellow citizens, but we are also family members as well. We are now members of God's household. And this is really the truly amazing thing, that though we were far away from God, that though we were separated from him and from one another by our sins, that we have now been brought near. And more than that, we are not just fellow citizens with God's people, but God has actually brought us into his house and has made us part of his family. As chapter 1 verse 5 says, we have now been adopted as his children, loved sons and daughters. We have access to him, as we see here, verse 18. We now have access to one Father through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And therefore, we also have a relationship with one another as well, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Once we were far away, once we were rebels and sinners, but now we've been given this privileged seat at the family meal, at the family table in the home. And so that's, I think, the first thing we need to understand if we're to have strong church communities. If we are a Christian, then we belong to God's family. God hasn't just saved us as individuals so that we can know him, but he's also made us part of his household. He's made us part of his family, the local church, and that means that we are also joined together in relationship with one another as well. One question that people often ask is, do you have to go to church in order to be a Christian? But if we think about it, we realise that that's actually completely the wrong question to really be asking. Because the fact is, and what we've seen here, if someone has put their faith in Christ, then they are actually part of the church already. The truth is that if you are here this morning and you are a Christian, that you are already part of God's family, whether you like it or not. The real question for us is not do you have to go to church to be a Christian, but is actually are we going to live out the membership of the church that we already have? If you are a Christian, you are already part of God's family. So no one can ever say, actually, I have a relationship with God, but I'm not part of a church. The fact is that if you know God, then you are already part of his church and are already connected with everyone else who has faith. It is part of who you are. We belong as part of the family of God. Now, of course, we might not always feel like it. We might not always get on wonderfully with everyone. We might not always feel like we belong and we fit in, maybe, but that doesn't actually alter the reality. And the reality is that if we are a Christian, then we are part of God's family, and we need to live that out. I once heard of a minister in the USA who would have his congregation say every week, "We don't go to church, we are the church." It was a little bit like that a video that Ben showed earlier on. We don't go to church, we are the church. And that's actually true. That's the case. We are the church. If we are a Christian, then we aren't just called to be part of the global church, but we're also called to be part of the local church alongside this local family of believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so maybe one question for each of us here this morning is, do we see this local church as our family? Do we see this local church as our family? So a family is one of the main images which the New Testament uses to speak about the church, a group of people of many different ages, many different races, many different stages of life who all care for one another, who love one another, and who are patient with one another. This is what one author called Tim Chester has to say about families. He says, families eat together, play together, cry together, and laugh together. Families provide for one another. They share something of the task of bringing up children, and they look after their older members. Families do argue and fight, but they do not stop being families as a result. They have to find ways of working things out. And you cannot opt for another family just because it shares your taste in music or reading. When you are with your family, you can take off your shoes and relax. It provides identity and a place of belonging. Families define for us what is home. Now he's obviously not saying there that if we are family, we can just treat one another casually, or we wouldn't need to be organized or anything like that. But I think what he is saying is that families are those who are involved with one another. If we are a church family, therefore, then we are to have a deep immersion in one another's lives. And one thing that he says that's very helpful to actually do is to go through that and substitute the word family with the word church and see what happens. And if you do that, then you come out with something like this, that churches eat together, play together, cry together, and laugh together. Churches provide for one another. They share something of the task of bringing up children, and they look after their older members. Churches do argue and fight, but they don't stop being churches as a result. They have to find ways of working things out. And you cannot opt for another church just because it shares your taste in music or reading. When you are with your church, you can take off your shoes and relax. It provides identity and a place of belonging. A church defines for us what is home. I wonder if that's how you see your local church, whether that's here or whether that's anywhere else. Because what Paul's saying here is that if we want to have a strong church community, then the first thing that we need to actually do is not to see ourselves as individuals, not to see ourselves as those who maybe just come along and receive, but we need to start actually to see ourselves as God's family, brothers and sisters with a relationship with God, but also a relationship with one another as well, where we do some of these things. We eat together, we play together, we cry together, and we laugh together. We belong together. So then, an essential feature of strong church community is to see ourselves as individuals who belong to God's family. But then there's also another feature of a strong church community here that Paul mentions, which is the foundation of God's Word. So the foundation of God's Word. So just like a building, a church also needs to have a strong foundation. And you can see that the only foundation for a strong church community is the foundation of God's Word. We can see this in verse 20, where Paul says that you are to be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So when Paul speaks about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets there, what does he mean? Well, I think he's talking about the truth that was laid down once and for all by the New Testament apostles and prophets. The apostles, of course, they were the 12 men that Jesus chose to be with him, along with people like the Apostle Paul and maybe a couple of others. And then the prophets, in the particular context here, were probably a small group of people in the early church who were basically responsible for speaking God's word. And so for us, what this is saying is that the foundation of the church is not only the Old Testament scriptures, which they would have had, but also the New Testament scriptures as well, where God's word was recorded once and for all by his apostles and prophets. And if you've got any questions about that, please feel free to ask me afterwards. And so God's word, therefore, is to be the foundation that the church is to be built on, with Jesus Christ himself as its chief cornerstone. Of course, if we're thinking about a local church, there might actually be many, many foundations that we are tempted to build on. So we might be tempted maybe to try and build our church on the latest techniques for church growth. We might be tempted maybe to take the latest principles from the business world and to try and use them as our foundation maybe. But what this is saying here is that the only foundation for a strong community is actually God's word. It's what he has given us here in the scriptures. Now, I'm not sure what the regulations are like in Hong Kong. When I was working in London, I remember that many of the buildings in Canary Wharf had to have foundations that were actually one-third of the height of the building itself. And so there were literally millions of tons of concrete that was basically went in to making the foundations to make sure that the structure would be stable and secure. I think it's exactly the same, Paul's saying, for the local church as well. God is not asking us to build the church on our own ideas that we've maybe come up with, or our own intellect maybe, or our own thoughts, or our own innovative plans. Instead, what he asks is for us to build on the foundation that he himself has laid and that he himself has given us in his word once and for all. Now, we'll obviously have many different challenges as we seek to understand God's word maybe, and we seek to apply it to lots of different aspects of our modern world. God has loads and loads of different challenges there. But yet what he's saying is we'll always be building, always be wanting to build on the foundations of the apostles and prophets and the word that was once and for all received. I think one reason why this foundation is so important for us in terms of church community is because it is the basis for our unity. It's the basis for our unity. Ultimately, our unity as a local church actually depends on our commitment to God's truth. It's only if we are committed to God's truth that we will actually find that we will be united as a community together. And so, for instance, our unity as a church is not based on the fact that we've all had exactly the same spiritual experience. Our unity as a church is not going to be based on the fact that we have a sentimental attachment, maybe, to certain ways of doing things. It's not going to be based on the fact that we have warm friendship or fellowship together, although that's important. Our foundation is not going to be because we're part of a particular a tradition or we just want to preserve a certain style or institution. Instead, we will only ever be a strong church community if we are founded on the Word. We can see this in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, where it says that the church is God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. So we have to be built and founded on the truth of God's Word. And so a truth, therefore, has to be really important to us as a church here at Ambassador. There can be no unity, you see, apart from unity in the truth. Now, of course, we will hold lots of different views, a whole wide variety of different views about secondary issues, of course, and we always welcome those who are looking into Christianity and who have questions about things. But where it really counts, we need to sign up as a local church community to the main truths about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the basis of our unity. He is actually the one at the corner who holds the whole thing together. And so it therefore stands to reason that if we're to love him, if we're to worship him, if we're to know what his will for our lives is, then we need to know who he is, we need to know what he's actually accomplished for us, and what he's taught in his word. And therefore we need to be built on where? On the foundation of God's word, on the truth. And that's why we have to care so much about God's word as a local church. It's why we have a reading from it every week. It's why we hand out copies of the church Bibles at the door. It's why we have a sermon, which is over half an hour long normally, where I basically give a large portion of my week to studying the word and working out how it applies, working out what it means for us, and working out what we can learn from it on Sundays and in our small groups and in our one-to-ones. Because if we are to be a strong church community, you see, then we need to be built on the foundation of God's word. I think this has all sorts of implications for us as individuals as well. It means that we as individual church members, need to be doing all that we can to actually strengthen the foundation of the church on God's word by giving it a priority in our own lives. We should be those who care about the truth. We should be those who care about what God's word actually means. Those who want to really dig deeper and to work at how our faith fits together and makes sense. It means that we should come to the word in our small groups or one-to-ones and on Sunday mornings with an expectancy to hear God speak and a willingness to put it into practice and apply it in our lives. You see, it's not actually true that the church is all about meeting people, and it doesn't really matter about all that stuff from the Bible. That's not true at all, because Paul says here that the local church community has to be built on the foundation of God's word. And the reason that I think he emphasizes it so much is because what you believe in your head affects how you act. What you believe affects how you act. So the only way you are going to know how to treat one another in the local church, the only way how you are going to know how to love one another, is if you are also taking on board God's word and God's truth. One fuels the other. If you like, our relationship with God also fuels our love and relationship with the community around us as well. And if we aren't doing that, then we'll never ever be a strong community, because we'll actually be building on the wrong foundation. And so Paul says here that we have to build on the foundation of the word. A strong church community needs strong foundations. Then he also goes on to a third essential element of strong church community, which I've called a commitment to being built together. A commitment to being built together. So we've already seen that we have a foundation. We've seen that Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And then Paul goes on to say that we are to be built together. Look with me at some of the vocabulary that he uses there in verse 21 and 22. He uses words like building. He uses words like joined together. A holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22 there, he uses words like being built together. To become a house. To become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Lots and lots of words to do with building and construction, a commitment to being built together. I think that there are basically two main ideas here. The first is that we are joined together with one another. We are united with other Christians. See the words there, joined together, built together. And then the other idea here is that I think that God himself is building us into something of permanence and lasting value, a holy temple in the Lord. Now, it's something we often say, but I think these scripture verses here really stress that God's host is not a place but a people. God's host is not a place but a people. Sometimes people call a church building God's host. And even if we wouldn't actually use those particular words, we still sometimes think that a church is a holy place. But here, I think Paul says, and in other places too, once and for all, that view is actually completely wrong. He says that God's host is the people, not the place. We, me and you, are the actual building, not the particular location or address where we meet. In 1 Peter 2 verse 5, Peter calls us living stones. Living stones, and so it's you and me who are to be built together into God's house, where God himself lives through his Holy Spirit when we meet up. And so we need to have a commitment, therefore, to be built together as living stones with other Christians in the local church. And there's obviously loads of different ways we could think about this, loads of ways we could apply it. But I think one main thing to probably say is that this view of the Christian church as people who are being built together as living stones into God's house is very different, actually, to the way that maybe many of us think about church, and certainly very different to the way that lots of people around us think about church. So I think the way that some of us may think about church is a little bit like a petrol station. And if you're from the USA, that's the same as a gas station. So it's a little bit like a petrol station, where we think that the Christian life is basically a solo pursuit. So it's about me and God, and I'm sort of living my Christian life. I'm driving along in my car, and once a week I need to pull into the church in order to fill up spiritually. I think that's the view that many of us can often have. We actually are thinking about the church, therefore, in purely individualistic terms. Our attitude is basically, well, I know I should want to grow in my relationship with God because that's really good and important, right? And the church can help me do that, and therefore I know I should probably go to church because it will help me, even though it's a little bit dull and boring, you know, and everything else, right? And that was actually my own attitude for a long, long while in my Christian life. I think that I knew I needed church to sort of fuel my own relationship with God. And so I would go to church regularly, I'd go to listen to some really good preaching, hopefully, I'd go to get some spiritual encouragement, but not to actually be built together in community with other Christian believers. But look at what God's plan is here for the church in verse 22. He says, in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So therefore, we need to have a commitment as a local church to be built together. It says that we aren't just a bunch of individuals who are growing in our relationship with God, hopefully, and coming to church for a spiritual fill-up. But rather, he says, we need to be built together with one another into strong community. It's not actually possible to separate out our growth in relationship with God from our growth in love with those people around us. In God's word, the two always go hand in hand. Our love for God in heaven is always connected to our growth in love with our fellow believers on earth. And so we can't have one without the other, and so we can't just drive along and pull into the gas station when we would like to fill up. Rather, we need to grasp that we are living stones. And what are living stones? They're all built together. We need a commitment to being built together. If you think about it like this, maybe that the purpose of a brick is to be built into a house. The purpose of a brick is to be built into a house. If it's just lying around on the ground, then the brick is not really useful for anything, is it? It's no good on its own, but it needs to be built together with the other brick, so it's basically a useless brick. And it's the same here for Christians. If you're a Christian here this morning, then you are a brick. And we weren't made to be bricks on our own, just lying around on the ground useless. But we were actually made to be bricks that are joined together with all the other bricks into a house of praise and worship for God, where he lives by his Holy Spirit. See, there are many churches around that basically operate with the petrol station view of the Christian church, where the whole aim is to make it as easy as possible for people to come in, fill up, and leave, and then drive on. And so we make the queues as short as we can, we make sure there's really good coffee on offer, but what we really ought to be about, I think, is building community, being built together, not just where people come in, fill up, and then go home. Now, we obviously shouldn't be too prescriptive. I think about what this actually looks like for each of us. As we saw last week, churches are made up of all sorts of different people, all sorts of different backgrounds and walks of life, and we all have very different schedules, so different things are going to be possible for each of us. But I think this will at least mean that when we do meet together in either small groups, or we meet one-to-one, or even here on a Sunday morning, that all those things aren't just nice options, right? But they are actually expressions of our community and being built togetherness. Our small groups are an opportunity to share our lives with one another. When we meet with someone one-to-one, maybe that's an opportunity to work out what it means to be a godly husband or a godly wife. It's where we work out maybe what it means to honour God as a single person, or to how to be a godly employee. It's where we are patient with one another, where we care for one another, where we are those who help one another when we're struggling maybe with sin or with temptation. I can remember once reading about a church that was so famous that people were literally flying in from all around the world to get there. And this was meant to be a great indicator of its spiritual success. But surely one of the problems is that if you're having to take an aeroplane and you're flying in to your local church, then it's going to be really hard, isn't it, to be part of the meaningful community of God's people, which is there. It's going to be hard to be built together with other Christians. Now, I'm quite sure that no one's ever going to be flying in to see us here. But having said that, we actually do come on many different forms of public transport and otherwise from all different corners of Hong Kong. And so I wonder if one of the main challenges we have, or maybe something that we need to go away and think about, is what does it mean for us to be built together in the circumstances and the situations that we are in? What does it mean to be built together, maybe, if we aren't actually able to make it to a small group for whatever reason that may actually be? How can we be a community rather than just a crowd? How can we be a community rather than just a crowd of people who meet on Sunday mornings? If you like, how can we be communers rather than consumers? Maybe those who commune with God and with one another rather than just consumers. You see, God's will for us as a church, I believe, is not to be a petrol station where we just come in and fill up, but rather where we are built together, all of us, into a glorious house where God lives by his Holy Spirit, of people who are genuinely dedicated to worshipping him in every area of their lives, including those times when we meet up. So then, what can we do to be a strong community? Well, according to what Paul says here, we need, first of all, to see ourselves as a family, brothers and sisters who are united in Christ. Then he says that we need to be those who love God's word and who care about the foundation of the truth. And then we also need to have a commitment to being built together as living stones with one another. I think all of us do face that a choice every week, maybe whether we're going to really pursue community or not. There's no idea what will happen in the future of this particular local church, whether we'll grow or whether we'll stay exactly the same size as we are at the moment. But even if the church here actually grows, I do not think that means that there has to be a decline in community. I really don't think that means there has to be a decline in community. At the end of the day, I really don't think it matters how many of us there are. We can still experience genuine community if we are committed to being built together in spite of all our many different upbringings, our many different races, our many different backgrounds. And the reason will be because Jesus Christ himself is our chief cornerstone, and we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Please join with me in a prayer that this will be the case for us. Let's pray. Just as we come to a prayer, maybe take a few moments of quiet, just ready to think about the three ingredients of strong church community that we've looked at, and maybe just in the quietness of your own mind, thinking, am I an individual who sees myself as part of God's family? Think maybe, am I building my life on the foundation of God's word? I'm thinking maybe, do I have a commitment to being built together as a living stone in God's house? Father in heaven, we want to give thanks to you for your word to us this morning. And we want to pray for our local church now. We pray that we would be individuals who belong to God's family. We pray that we would be a church that has a solid commitment to being built on the foundation of God's word. And we pray that each of us here, Father, through your grace, would be committed to being built together as a community of your people here. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.